Suchivrata, taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusion, are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent. You can continue now. Serious, because I have to work on my dissertation reading.
Okay, no problem.
So I was just reading, so you can keep reading or whatever.
You really inspired me, and thank you. It means so much to me that I can marry somebody.
Okay, thank you, bro, for me, so nice of you.
Okay, yeah, good luck with your dissertation.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So reading today from Bhagavad Gita as it is. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 16, The Divine and Demoniac Natures. Text number 18. Did I say it right? 17. Yes. Ankaram balam darpam kamam krodam cha sangshrita mam atma para deheshu radvishanto vyashu yakaha. Word for word, ahankaram, false ego, balam, strength, darpam, pride, kamam, lust, krodam, anger, cha, also, sangshritaha, having taken shelter of mam, me, atma, in their own para, and another, deheshu, bodies, pratvishantaha, blaspheming, atyashuyakaha, envious. Translation. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion. Purport. A demoniac person, being always against God's supremacy, does not like to believe in the scriptures. He is envious of both the scriptures and the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is caused by his so-called prestige and his accumulation of wealth and strength. He does not know that the present life is a preparation for the next life. Not knowing this, he is actually envious of his own self as well as of others. He commits violence on other bodies and on his own. He does not care for the supreme control of the personality of Godhead because he has no knowledge. Being envious of the scriptures and the supreme personality of Godhead, he puts forward false arguments against the existence of God and denies the scriptural authority. He thinks himself independent and powerful in every action. He thinks that since no one can equal him in strength, power, or wealth, he can act in any way and no one can stop him. If he has an enemy who might check the advancement of his sensual activities, he makes plans to cut him down by his own power. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gananjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svaparantika Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Guru Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raganatam Vidangtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vidangscha. Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Rishabhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha, Pritanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sriman Rasa Rasa Rangvi Vangsi Vatatasti Taha Karshan Venu Swanar Gopir Gopinatasri Estuna. Sri Srila Gopinath originated the transcendental mela of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. So the question is, who's Krishna talking about? At least that is the question I was having when I read the purport. Is he talking about me and us? Or is he talking about them, the karmis, the demons outside of the temple? Or are we perhaps also, at least sometimes, demoniac? Because it's all based on behavior. If we behave like a demon, I don't see any reason why we should not be called a demon. And if we behave like a devotee, and we can be outside, of course, generally, devotees chant Hare Krishna, but there is a certain behavior that generally people who chant Hare Krishna have.
Hare Bol. From who is this?
Oh. Alright. What was that verse we just read? Should read it one more time. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vidangs Cha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishaka. So, yes, let us just delve into the purport, but that is the question, that who is a demon and who is a devotee? Sometimes people who are outside, because for me, personally, I feel that the mode of goodness is very important. And I try to explain many times, not at least to myself, that the mode of goodness is not an option. Like, for instance, taking sannyas is not an option. Now, you can make an argument, you know, a fixed up griyasta is also sannyas. Anyway, let's not go into that argument, but we got to come to the stage of acting like sannyas. So it doesn't matter which ashram we are, but we have to become detached. And what should we become detached of? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? And what does he talk about here? Lust. We have to become detached of lust. Like, we all, in general, we all have parents, and there probably has been a stage in your life where you thought, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what my father wants me to do, or what my mother wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. So that is actually demoniac. And that is lust. That is lust. So that lust is very deeply ingrained, and that is the root cause of all sin, Krishna says, and it's the root cause ultimately of our fall down. It's like Prabhupada described, the lust or the desire, which is the same basically, to lord it over material nature, to become like God, to be like God. That is one of the desires that we have, and it's in one sense it's a natural desire, because we are made in the image of God. We are part and parcel of God, so that thing that God has, that I am God, that is also within us, very minutely. But Prabhupada says that we have to serve. This is really our position. And maybe within that service, we have some authorization, or we have some authority. Like in general, people work under us and people are above us. It's always like that. Because, I don't want to get too philosophical, but there's unlimited small and there's unlimited big. And ultimately, really what we can do is to serve God and His devotees. And the devotee never thinks that anybody is below him. You know, a devotee, including Radharani, they always think that everybody is above me. So this is the spiritual consciousness. But I'm just trying to explain that this desire to lord it over, it can be engaged to some extent in the devotional service. It's you know, the desire that we, as an individual, you know, want to serve Krishna. It's not that we have to get rid of our ego. It's just false ego if we think that we are in charge, like is described in this purport and in this verse. So we're not in charge. And the Vaishnava, he always wants to be the servant of the other devotees. So anyway, the point I was making is that some karmis, they might be in the mode of goodness. And that makes them, in one sense, they have 10 qualities of a devotee. Of course, Narada Muni says that unless one chants Hare Krishna, unless one performs devotional service, everything he does is completely useless. And it is true, but it doesn't mean that if we chant Hare Krishna and we're not really in the mode of goodness, we're not acting like a devotee, that what we are doing is useless. I mean, it's useful. I little bit forgot the verse. But we become an upataya, Rupa Goswami says. If we don't act according to the Shastra, to the Pancharata, it is all this summarized also by Rupa Goswami, because Prabhupada made a summary of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu itself is kind of a summary of all the different rules in the Vedas. And if we don't follow those rules, then we're simply a disturbance. So we might be serving in the mode of ignorance, but it's actually a disturbance. Like there is this saying, giving a dead horse to a brahmana. So you might give a dead horse to a brahman, but it's actually because, you know, a dead horse, it's a disturbance. It's a nuisance. You got to get rid of it. It's going to smell. So then you donate it to a brahman. So, you know, you're just giving him a big problem. So you're just a disturbance. It's not really a gift. So we have to be careful that we don't become a disturbance to the devotees. Although, you know, even if you are a disturbance, stay in the association of the devotees, because there's no alternative. And gradually you will come to the mode of goodness and you will obtain all these good qualities. But the point I'm trying to make is that unless we obtain these good qualities, we're kind of acting like a demon. And we might be a devotee, but it's a very low-class devotee. And it's like you could almost say it's like a demoniac devotee, if such a thing exists. You know, I mean, somebody who's serving in a mode of ignorance, it's not good. It's Prabhupada says, He's not a very high devotee. This is the gentleman way of saying it. I'm not very good at these things. I'm from Amsterdam. We say things as they are. But this is the gentleman way. It's like Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you are not very intelligent. But in Amsterdam, we say you're stupid. You see, that's how we speak in Amsterdam. But the gentleman, he says, that is not very intelligent. So in Amsterdam, we feel that's a roundabout way. And sometimes we might not really get it. If somebody says we're not really very intelligent, like we're so kind of foolish that we think, oh, actually I'm pretty intelligent, I'm just not very intelligent. But that's not really what persons like Krishna and Prabhupada mean when they say a thing like that. And also we cannot compare us. ourselves with Arjuna. Prabhupada says Arjuna, he's 1,000 categories better than any of us. So if Arjuna is acting, you know, less intelligent, we can only imagine how we are acting. It's not very good in general. So we have to be careful that we don't become self-complacent and we take things for granted and we think like, oh, Krishna is describing the demons here. We're chanting Hare Krishna and we're good. If it was that easy, then, you know, we would all be pure devotees by now. And we know what a pure devotee can do. He can talk to Krishna directly. And who can say that? Of course, a pure devotee will never really talk about these things because it's so intimate and nobody can really appreciate it unless the devotee in question is also having that ability to talk to Krishna. But still, we know that in general, devotees, they're not on that level. Can you talk to Krishna, Arjun? You would tell me if you could, right?
I can't.
You can't.
I mean, maybe, I think we all can, but maybe...
We can, yeah, we can, but we can't. We're not, I mean, we have the ability to do it, but we have to become pure.
Yeah.
So if we're not really talking to the deity, that means that we're not a pure devotee, right? I mean, I can list other qualities that you need, but that is one of the qualities, right?
Yeah.
Right? A pure devotee, like devotee said that Prabhupada could talk to the deity. They saw him do it even, you know?
And took back? Like that.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's what I mean. It's not like a crazy person, you know? But that's what I mean. Like Satchinandan Swami explained that he was washing these maha plates and he brought them out and he said that Prabhupada could have never seen that. He just arrived or something. It was like a watertight story. And Prabhupada said, it is dirty. It was something like that. And then he checked, and some other said that day I wasn't very attentive, and it was true. He spaced it out, and one of the cups was still dirty, you know? And some other, the deity had told Prabhupada. It was something like that, you know? It was like... Yeah, it was something that Prabhupada could not have known and that only the deity could have known because he was eating from the cup. It was some story like that. Anyway, this is just a kind of a proof that Prabhupada did actually, he was able to talk to the you know, so-called deity, because I don't remember which deity it was. I think it was somewhere in Germany, but I'm not 100% sure. But you can ask Satchinandan Swami, I'm sure he would be happy to tell that story again because it's quite an ecstatic story. Anyway, so... I got a few more seconds. We're talking about the demons, and generally we think we're talking about the demons. So I'm making the case that, you know, some of the demons are living amongst us. Me as a speaker has sometimes demoniac qualities. Yeah. So sometimes we act demoniac, and our philosophy is that then in one sense that makes us a demon, because otherwise, you know, most of us have nothing to do here. Because according to the so-called Indian culture, you can only be a Brahman if you're born as a Brahman. And Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, and we have proof in the Shastra that don't agree with it. They say if you act like a Brahman, if you act like a priest, then you are considered a priest. And if you don't act like a priest, even you look like one, or you have born, your father was one, then you're not one. So we should always be very careful when we read these purports and these texts, that we don't get too much carried away that Krishna is talking about someone else. You know, we should always think he's talking about me. You know, how can I overcome these things? False ego, bewilderment. I'm bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger. Was Ashwatthama?
He was the son of Dronacharya.
Right.
And then he directed the Brahmashtra towards Maharaj Pariksit.
Yeah, and he also killed the children, no?
Yeah,
He killed the grandchildren
of
Arjun.
The Pandavas children.
Yeah, the Pandavas children.
Yeah.
Right. Subhadra.
Subhadra's children, yeah.
Oh, I see.
No,
Draupadi's children, right?
Yeah. And Subhadra's wife was, I mean, Subhadra's husband
Yeah.
And the other one is brothers.
Right.
So, oh. Subhadra was the wife. So yeah.
Wow, you really know your Mahabharata. It's good. So Abhimanyu was the son of Subhadra.
Abhimanyu was the husband.
Oh, the husband of Subhadra.
No.
Yeah. You said son. You just said son.
No.
Not.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Because Abhimanyu.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I get the point. I get the point. Huh? Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm asking you.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's what you said. So that's why I said you really know your Mahabharata, because I didn't really know that.
So his brothers were killed in
right, his half-brothers.
His half-brothers.
Right. Yeah, because Abhimanyu was killed in Mahabharata, I mean, by the Maharatis, including Bhishma Dev. Anyway, let's not get carried away. You were talking about Ashwatthama being the son of a Brahman.
Yeah.
And in one sense, he was a Brahman, but he didn't act like a Brahman in the end. And therefore, he was not considered a Brahman, and Krishna ordered him to be killed.
Yeah.
Right? Which was a very heavy thing to say. And then Draupadi begged for his mercy, and then Arjuna cut off his hair. Right? That's the story, no? Yeah. Anyway, I'll just read a little of the purport. If you don't mind, just for my own purification. A demoniac person being always against God's supremacy does not like to believe in the scripture. He is envious of both the scriptures and the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is caused by so-called prestige and his accumulation of wealth and strength. So, yeah, that is another thing. We should be careful that if we... Because here it said that, a demoniac person, he gets intoxicated by so-called prestige and accumulation of wealth and strength. So these things are intoxicating. So if we become very wealthy and very strong, and we have some so-called prestige, because usually it's related to the body, then we have to be careful, because then we might become envious about the scriptures and the existence of Krishna. And sometimes we see that, we start criticizing the scripture. Yeah, and because we're like strong and wealthy. And
we think we have
it. Yeah. Anyway, it's just some points I wanted to put in your mind. And one last thing, because I thought this was very psychological of Prabhupada. He says, he does not know that the present life is a preparation for the next life, so that we all know. But then Prabhupada says, not knowing this, he's actually envious of his own self as well as of others. That's kind of a very psychological thing to say, I thought. So I'll just leave you with that.
How and think. Envious of
yourself? Well, it's like when you kill yourself, people killing themselves.
Yeah.
Like it's an intense self-hate, self-hatred.
Yeah.
And maybe also hatred to others. But also, because that's what it says here also. That's when people kill themselves. It's like to put the blame on others, and also that you really hate yourself. Because somebody who really likes himself thinks, well, screw them. I'm just going to do something else. But the person, he hates others and he also hates himself. So he just screw them, I kill myself, and also I've destroyed myself. It's really heavy. So that's not so difficult to understand, right? I mean, you say envious, okay, because I'm talking about self-hatred. It's a little bit different from envious. But I guess it's the self, what Prabhupada speaks about, which is the soul. And maybe we want something that we can't have. I think maybe it's related to that, And that I started the lecture, and we all know this. We have to realize that we're servants of Krishna. But we don't want it. So anyway, I just wanted to put it out there just to think about it. We don't have to immediately understand it. I don't understand it either completely. I just thought it was interesting.
I think you're right. The self is concerned about being a servant of Krishna ultimately.
Yeah.
And then if you become a servant of Krishna, a pure servant of Krishna, it becomes compassionate to others and it tries to pull them out of the ocean of
Maya. Yes, it's true.
And as a pure devotee, and in that way it benefits the whole world by being a pure devotee.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do that, he's envious of himself and others. So.
Ahimsa, right? Or hingsa, violence. Violence. Yeah, okay. We can stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was late myself. I started.